Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9 says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." Well, Matthew the publican, Matthew the tax collector, here we see in verse number 9, as the Lord passed by Matthew, Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom. And he was a publican. He was a tax collector. That was his job. And as we look at all the different apostles, we could say this, that there was none of the 12 that was more a notorious sinner than Matthew. Why is that? Because tax collectors were cheats. In Bible times, they were especially corrupt. Now, don't mix up Matthew, because he's called by his Jewish name. In the book of Mark and in the book of Luke, he's called Levi. But here in the book of Matthew, he's called Matthew. His Jewish name is Levi, and he obviously is the author, or the writer, we should say. God is the author. He's the writer of the gospel that bears his name. Now, if Matthew wrote the book of Matthew, you would expect that a lot would be said of him. But in fact, it's the opposite. You know, Matthew was an apostle that was in the background. Not a lot is said of him at all. He was someone that was content during the Lord's ministry to stay in the background. He didn't rise up to the front. He didn't want to take leadership. He was simply willing to follow the Lord. But that is not how Matthew began. Matthew was a publican. Matthew was a tax collector. And from what we do know about him, we know three things which we'll look at this morning. First of all, notice his salvation in Roman numeral number 1. That's your blank, the word salvation. So if you have a handout sheet for this morning and you'd like to fill in the blanks, the first blank is the word salvation. Now, this is the beginning of the story of all of the apostles except Judas. Amen. We see that the Lord's first call out to them is a call to salvation. Now, here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9, here we see the call of the Lord. And it comes as a surprise. If you read what happened, the Lord heals a man in need in Capernaum. And then suddenly he was walking through the region. And that's when he saw Matthew. Matthew was sitting at the receipt of custom where a publican, a tax collector would sit. And that's when Jesus called him. Now, again, you and I, when we think of the apostles, sometimes we think of what we see in Rome, all of them set in stone at the Vatican, all in enshrined in marble, lifted up above everyone else. And that's really the view that religion gives the apostles. They're heroes. They're great men of the faith. And we ought to somehow even worship them. That's what Roman Catholicism does. Worships the saints, the apostles. And in fact, in the Bible, what do we see? These men were far from great when the Lord called them. In fact, Matthew was the worst of sinners, the worst of them all. He certainly didn't have a great background that we would expect the Lord to choose someone like that to follow him, to be the foundation of the church, that which was the church was built upon, the foundation of the apostles. So certainly not Matthew. And yet we see the Lord pass by and saw him. And saw Matthew. Now, remember, tax collectors were greatly despised in Israel. Why? Because the Jews weren't collecting taxes from their own, were they? No, who were the ones that were collecting taxes from the Jews? It was the Romans. So tax collectors obviously had to work for the Romans. So first of all, they were seen as the betrayers of the Jewish nation. So often they were seen as betraying the nation that they came from. So they were despised, they were hated, they were deemed lower than the Herodians. They were worthy of scorn. And publicans were men who had bought tax franchises. So just like if you would go to If you would go to an accountant, what's a tax franchise in town? Yeah, Easy Tax or another tax franchise. You go there and it's the same franchise all over town, all over Australia. And that's what it was. That's what Matthew was a part of, a tax franchise. Matthew the Apostle was a tax man first. And he was working for the Roman Empire. And his job was to get as much tax from the people, the Jews, as possible. And the Romans allowed the tax collector to put in his pocket a certain amount of what he brought in. So the tax collector would become a liar, a deceiver, a swindler, would do all that he can to get as much money of the Jews so then he could line his own pockets while working for Rome. So as you can imagine, the Jews looked down upon the publicans, the tax collectors, greatly. They were despised. They were hated. And they often used the Roman soldiers to strong arm, with a strong arm, to get the Jews to give money. That was Matthew. Despicable, scoundrels, corrupt. And this is what we know about publicans in the Bible. But what we see this morning is that the Lord looked upon Matthew. He was walking by. He looked at Matthew. But he didn't look at Matthew how we would often look at the scum of society, if you will, the criminals, the thieves of this world. He didn't look upon him in that way. He saw in Matthew what the grace of God could do through salvation. And he looked at Matthew and then he spoke to Matthew and he said, "Follow me. Follow me." Now, later on, we're going to learn a little bit how Matthew most likely had already heard about the Messiah. As a Jew, he knew about the prophecies of God's word. And when Christ stood before him, perhaps he had heard about the miracles. And a miracle just took place before this. And I wonder how Matthew felt when the Lord looked at him and he said, "I want you to follow me. I want you to turn to me. I want you to leave it all and come and be my disciple." I wonder how Matthew felt. Now, you know, Matthew, no doubt, accepted the Lord's invitation. No doubt Matthew realized he was a sinner and he needed a Savior. And Matthew is certainly a wonderful example of the grace of God to change someone from the inside out. The Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." And so Matthew put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for his personal salvation. He knew he needed a Messiah. He knew that all the corrupt wickedness and money of the world could not buy the salvation that he needed. And so he chose to follow the Lord, to first hear his call to salvation. And it's only by grace that we are saved. Let me ask you this morning, has there been a time that you heard the Lord's call to salvation? You know, it's one thing to be religious. It's another thing to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. You see, the Lord Jesus spoke to Matthew personally. He said, "Follow me." Christianity is not a religious call to come to church. It's not a religious call to follow a system. It's not a religious call to do certain rituals. No, it's a call to Christ. It is a call to come to Christ for salvation. Jesus said, "I've come to seek and to save that which was lost." Has there been a time in your life that you understood that you were a sinner, just like Matthew? That you understood that we are all sinners before a holy God? Has there been a time that you turned from your sins, like Matthew, and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accepted Him as your personal Savior? Have you been forgiven for all your sins once and for all? Well, Matthew heard the call. Matthew certainly rose up with great excitement and great relief that there is one that could save him from the wicked life that he had lived. And it's only by God's grace that he could do that. We don't deserve salvation. Would you agree? None of us deserve salvation. We are all wicked sinners before a holy God. You might say, Pastor, I'm not a wicked sinner. Well, that's what God says. Amen. We are all undone. We are all lost in our iniquities. We can pretend to be good on the outside. But you see, God sees the heart. He sees the heart. So when he looked at Matthew, he didn't see a good man that he could use as an apostle. No, he saw what his grace could do in Matthew's life through salvation. Well, we see his salvation. And there's the challenge to make sure that we are saved this morning. Notice, secondly, his surrender. His surrender. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 9. We're still there in the book of Matthew. Now, notice what Matthew did when the Lord called out to him. Can you see that in verse number 9? And he saith unto him, follow me. And what did Matthew do? That's right. He arose and followed him. Now, what does that mean? Well, picture it in your mind. He's sitting at the receipt of custom in his little tax franchise. He's got it made in the shade with a glass of lemonade, as Brother Dan DeLong would say. And so he's sitting there. He's got his business. He's wealthy. You know, he may be a scoundrel, but he's got money. And yet, suddenly the Lord comes and he puts his faith in the Lord. But not only that, in doing so, he leaves everything behind. He leaves his booth. He leaves his corrupt career. And he gets up. He leaves the Roman government behind. Doesn't care. And he follows the Lord away from everything. And leaves it all behind. Now, I assure you, there were many other scoundrels that were ready and quick to pounce on that tax franchise. And who would want to get in and be the next Matthew in that receipt of custom. So don't worry, that position would have been filled very quickly. But understand also that once Matthew left, there wasn't any going back. He couldn't go back. You see, this decision wasn't a light one to follow the Lord. Not at all. It comes across to us in a very short, abbreviated version. And Matthew wrote this. Certainly he didn't boast of anything of himself, did he? What he wrote most of all is that the Lord saw him. And then what he did was he arose and he followed him. Without hesitation, he arose. And once Matthew walked away, he could never go back. And we never see him, do we, regretting that decision. Now, what was it in a man like Matthew that caused him to drop everything like that? That's a big thing. Look, it's one thing to be saved. It's another thing to surrender. To surrender. And Matthew was willing to surrender all. Now, we assume he was a rich man, don't we? Well, he would never chase after a position like that unless he had a love for money. Would you agree? He had a love for filthy lucre. He was willing to be looked down on, criticized, hated by his own people in order to make money. That was Matthew. So why would he walk away from everything, not knowing what the future would hold? Not knowing whether he'd have any income again. Not knowing what would happen to him. Well, the best answer that we can assume is that whatever riches Matthew had, they didn't fill the need that he had in his heart. You see, Matthew was hungry for God. He had money, but money couldn't buy the salvation of his soul. So he was seeking the Lord. Would you agree? He was looking out for God. Because when the Lord walked past him, he didn't miss him. Amen. He didn't say, let me think about it. That's interesting. I'm glad to receive this invitation. I'm not ready right now. You know, I want to make a bit more money. And maybe when I'm retired, I'll think about God. Has anyone ever said that to you? You know, I'm having too much fun as a young person right now. And look, I've got my dreams, and yes, God is there, and hey, that even sounds great. He wants me. He wants to save me, but you know what? Not right now.
Not right now. Well, that wasn't Matthew. Matthew was ready to go. But he didn't know who to look to. He didn't know who could save him. And when the Savior came along, he put his faith in the Lord for salvation. And not only that, he surrendered all at the same time. He surrendered all. The Lord doesn't only want us to be saved, Christian. He wants us to be surrendered. He wants us to be willing to forsake all, to follow him, to leave everything. He believed in the one true God. Now, understand that the receipt of tax wasn't hidden in a back corner somewhere on a side street. No, where would they normally place the customs office? Right in the open, right on Sheridan Street, right in the open. Right on Mulgrave Road, where everyone can see it, just to make sure no one forgets to pay their taxes. And so that's where the government posted him. So he was right on the main road. I wonder what he heard about Christ from people traveling through, from Jews complaining and talking and murmuring and gossiping about the Messiah, this one called Jesus of Nazareth. I wonder what he knew about the miracles and the people being rescued from demonic possession and grave diseases. I wonder what he heard. Well, we know he heard enough. So when Jesus passed by, he had enough faith to look to him for salvation and to follow him for his life. To follow him for his life. Well, I hope you can see this morning that none of these apostles were perfect. They were far from perfect. They were far from ready. You know, you might say this morning, Pastor, look, I just don't feel I'm ready to surrender to the Lord. He has saved me, but I'm not ready. I'm not what I ought to be. Brethren, understand that Matthew wasn't anything he ought to be. He just got saved. He just put his faith in Christ. This was the beginning. See, surrender must happen at the beginning. If you're waiting to become somehow perfect as a Christian before you surrender to the Lord, you'll never surrender to him. We'll never reach a place of perfection. And you see, what the Lord is looking for is not sinlessness, because there's no such thing in a Christian. He's looking for surrender. He's looking for someone who would simply follow him. And yes, that includes forsaking all. Entrusting God with our finances. Giving over to him our career. You know, Matthew didn't get to that position easily. He would have had to work hard and fight hard for it. He would have had to become friends with Roman governors, politicians. He would have had to swindle his way in. And once he got that position, I tell you what, it wasn't an easy thing, humanly speaking, to let it go. But spiritually, to him, it was nothing. Why? Well, I believe the answer is found in those two words. What did the Lord say to Matthew? He said, follow me. You see, this was not the Roman emperor talking to him. This was someone much greater than that. This was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This was not only the God of creation, but the God of Matthew's salvation. And so you see, when we consider all the things in our lives, isn't it true, would you agree, that the Lord, our God, is worthy of our surrender? The Lord is worthy of our lives. He is worthy of our commitment. He is worthy of our devotion. He is worthy of everything. In fact, at the end of the day, he gives us the job we have. He can give, he can take away. He gives us every breath that we breathe. What do we really think we're holding on to? Well, it's just a vapor. You can't hold on to it. That's what the Bible says. And so wouldn't it be better to surrender and follow the Lord and enjoy the Christian life than trying to hold on to the old life that the Lord saved us from? Do we have faith this morning like Matthew to surrender all? Yes, I know it's not a light thing. But when we understand what the Lord says, follow me, he'll provide for all our needs. Amen. He will give us joy, protection, comfort, satisfaction. I tell you what, Matthew was being freed from the old ways, from the old wickedness. And he was called, just like the fishermen, to forsake his nets.
Are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to drop everything to follow the Lord? Now, by the way, Matthew was an apostle. The Lord won't necessarily want you to quit your job and to sit at the gates of this hall 7 days a week saying, "Lord, I'm here. What do you want me to do?" That's not exactly what the Lord is saying. But have we surrendered in our heart all things to the Lord? Have we asked the Lord, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Are we listening to the Lord's voice through His word? Amen. God speaks through His word. The Lord isn't going to stand before you in a dream and a vision to tell you what to do. He speaks through His word. But are we surrendered to what He would call us to do? Now, understand, Matthew would never, ever, ever have felt he was worthy of following Christ. But because Christ called him, amen, "He which calleth you shall also do it." Amen. "He which calleth you shall also do it." So he said, "Well, I don't know what the Lord has in store, but if He's calling me, then He can do it. And He'll do it through me. And I'll just surrender and follow Him." And we all need to be followers of the Lord today. Let me encourage you, young people, surrender to the Lord early. Or the road ahead in life will get rougher. Surrender to Him early. Surrender your dreams to Him early, young people. Surrender your popularity to the Lord. Amen. If God has given you some sort of a popularity among people at school that like you, God has given that to you in order to be a witness. Not to be the king of your school, the queen of your school. Not to be the most popular kid in order to be praised. No, God wants you to serve Him. Surrender your sporting skills to the Lord. Hey, just because you're fit doesn't mean God wants you to be an all-star athlete in that particular sport. No, God has called us to become fishers of men. So if He gives us physical fitness, be careful what you do with it. That you don't make sport your God, and then God gets shoved out of the way. Now, He can take away our physical fitness very quickly. He's done that. I've seen it in Christians' lives. And they've turned around and gone on to serve the Lord. But it's better to surrender to Him now. Amen? Surrender to Him now. The call to salvation. And then there's the call to surrender. And notice, lastly in your notes, Matthew's soul winning. Again, not a lot is told in the Bible about Matthew, in the Gospels. Only two times he's mentioned. And this is the last thing we see of Matthew here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. Have a look with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 10. "And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, and behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Him and His disciples." So here we see Matthew's faith come out again clearly in a different way, because not only did he surrender all to follow the Lord, but he held an evangelistic banquet in his own home. What did Matthew do? Well, have a look in your Bibles that the Lord sat, He came to a meal in Matthew's house, and behold, many publicans and sinners came down and sat with Him and His disciples. So you see, Matthew reveals, as well as in the book of Luke, that he went ahead and prepared a banquet meal in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. He opened up his home and not only invited the Lord and his apostles, his disciples, and he could have just limited the lunch to them or the dinner to them. He could have just said, "All right, Lord, you come and those who are following you come. And I'm like you now as well. We're in this one group too." But is that where the Lord limited the guests to? No. He didn't say Christians only. He said, "You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this opportunity to invite all my other riff-raff scoundrel friends and bring them in and introduce them to the Lord." Can you see Matthew's soul winning, lastly, in your notes? Matthew's soul winning. Now, remember Philip and Andrew? They both did the same. Philip went to get Nathanael. Andrew went to get his brother Peter when they found the Lord. And Matthew did the same thing. His first impulse after committing himself to the Lord was to bring his closest friends to the Saviour. But interestingly, these friends were not like Peter. Peter was a hard-working fisherman, a decent working man, who was honest, and that was Andrew's brother, Peter. And then there was Nathanael. In him was no guile at all. Remember last week, Nathanael? He wasn't a deceitful man. But Matthew, on the other hand, his friends that he invited to come to the Lord were a little bit different. Were a little bit different. Have a look in your notes there or in your Bibles at Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, notice what the writer Luke had to say of this event. Luke chapter 5 verse 29. And Levi, so that's Matthew, Levi is his Jewish name. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. Verse 30. But their scribes and Pharisees murmured against his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with publicans and sinners?" Notice what the Lord says in verse 31. And Jesus answering said unto them, "They that are whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Now, first of all, before we get into these verses, why was it that Matthew invited all these lowlifes, these sinners, these publicans, these scoundrels to his house? Why were these the ones that he invited? Well, remember, Matthew wouldn't have had any other friends than them. These are the only people he knew. These are the only people who would be willing to be friends with him. Because the Jews hated him. He couldn't go to the temple and worship as they did. You remember the parable of the publican and the Pharisee? The Pharisee was in the inner court. And where was the publican? He was standing afar off. Outside, probably where the Gentile stood. Why? Because he's a scoundrel. He's a criminal. He's a traitor of the Jewish nation. You see, Matthew wouldn't have had any friends apart from those who were just like him. So what did he do? He went to grab those that were just like him. And he said, "Come to the Lord. Come and see the Messiah." And he made a feast in his home, and he invited the riffraff of society to dine with him and to introduce them to the Saviour. And what did they do? Well, they came. They came. You know, there are times that we do invite people, don't we? Let's be honest. And yes, they are the riffraff of society. And we reach out to all people. And that's the point. We need to make sure we keep doing that. But not everyone is going to come. But let's remember that some will. And those who are the most despised, and let's face it, because of their own choices, okay? They're not victims. Those who are the most despised in our society, for all sorts of different reasons, whether they're crooks, whether they're in a mess because of their sinful choices, these are the ones more often than not that are looking for an answer to life, that are looking for the Messiah, the Savior. They may not know it, but they need to be reached out to. You know, sometimes we look for someone who's the cleanest and say, this is someone that the Lord can use. Friends, Matthew wasn't like that. The Lord called him to be an apostle, and we need to reach out to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the lonely, to the broken, to the corrupt. We need to reach out to them as Matthew did and expect that some will come. Amen. Now, have you ever thought of opening up your home and inviting some people to your home and saying, "Hey, I'd like to talk to you more about the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you be willing to, would you be available to come to our home for a meal?" Now, if they come, they know what you're going to tell them. Amen. And I'm not saying entice them with a meal and then surprise them with the gospel. You can do that. You can do that, but perhaps a better way is to let them know, "Hey, you know, I'd love to invite you over for a meal and look, I'd like to tell you something more that's on my heart, something about God. If you'd be interested in coming along, would you come on over?" Hey, that was Matthew's heart, wasn't it? To reach others, to bring them in, to tell them about the Lord. Now, the Lord in person was there, and so he brought these sinners to the Saviour. And you might say, "Well, Pastor, I don't think God can do something for them. You know, they're too far gone. They're too messed up." You know, we all think
sometimes like that, don't we? About people. Especially ones that we have despised, looked down on. Especially those who we wouldn't want anything to do with. And yet, the reality is, Christ said it himself, I came not to save the righteous. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why? For there is none righteous. That's including me. That's including you. There is none righteous. No, not one. But to the audience that Christ was speaking to, understand, what was he saying? Well, the Pharisees and the scribes, they were not righteous. But what were they? What were they in reality? They were self-righteous, weren't they? So the Lord, in fact, was saying, I've come not to call the self-righteous. Now, I'm not come to call the self-righteous. Now, the religious Jews, they looked clean on the outside. They had everything going for them. They were religious. They had fancy cars. They had nice houses. And so often, these are the ones we try and win to Christ, isn't it? We stay away from the riffraff and we try and to try and reach out to those who look right on the outside, and we wonder why we get knocked back all the time. Well, the Lord has not come to call the self-righteous, but sinners, those who know they are sinners, to call them to repentance. So let's not miss out on reaching out to those who know that they are sinners. There's nothing more frustrating in trying to convince someone that they're a sinner. You know, why? Because they've got stuff and they've got security, they've got money and they've got a comfortable life. And they, well, I'm not a sinner. Look at all that I've got. But someone who has nothing and is broken and is down in the dumps and in the dirt of life, they know. They know they're a sinner. So let's reach out to the sinners like Matthew did. Amen. Let's reach out to those in need like Christ had come to save. Of course, he came to save all, but the self-righteous can't be saved. Self-righteous because of their own hardness and hypocritical outward show won't accept the gospel. But people like Matthew, who are prepared to confess their sin, can be forgiven once and for all and be redeemed forever. Friend, do you see people as Matthew did? Are you a true soul winner? Just like Matthew, we need to believe in the power of the gospel to change someone from the inside out. The outside's not going to change until the inside changes. Amen? And that can only be done through salvation. Are we willing to reach someone seeing the potential of God's grace in their life on the inside in order to change them on the outside? Well, there's an idea. We can get cooking. Amen. Prepare a banquet. Invite people along for a meal. If you've not done that yet as a Christian, it's a wonderful way. Invite your neighbours over for a meal. Or bring a meal over to them. Or have people over that visit in the church. Someone that comes to church. You know, let me be honest with you. Someone comes to church and you get talking with them and you ask them a few questions and you find out there's some sincerity there. There's, don't be gullible. Don't get me wrong. God doesn't want you, especially ladies, if you live alone, he doesn't want you to just open your doors to anyone. Let's be wise. Amen. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. But understand that there are opportunities everywhere. If a visitor comes to church, why don't you open your home and invite them in and witness to them? Why don't you reach out to them as Matthew did? What about the people that you know in your workplace, in your lives that God has put in your lives to reach out to them? Matthew was a wonderful example about someone who heard the call to salvation. He surrendered all and then he went soul winning straight away. We need to be more like Matthew. Amen. Matthew wasn't sinless, but he certainly was sincere and surrendered. And Matthew stands as a vivid reminder today that God often chooses the most despicable of people and redeems them and gives them new hearts and does miraculous things through them. Amen. And that's Matthew in a nutshell from the few verses we know about him in the Word of God. I trust that God has encouraged you and challenged you
as we seek to become fishers of men. Also.